Once again, this morning we want to welcome each and every one out to the services today, the Grace Missionary Baptist Church. And, you know, I pray that the Lord has blessed you already today in the things that have been said, the things that have been spoken, the prayers that have been offered up. I appreciate the lesson this morning. I needed it. We need to be encouraged in the Word of God. Life is certainly one that can be discouraging at many points in our lives, and we need encouragement from the Word of God. So that was a blessing to me. Your presence is just a blessing to me. You know, in the last couple of weeks, in our Sunday afternoons that we've been together, we have been talking about the subject of worship. Last week, Brother Bob spoke for us, so I want to remind you just a little bit about what we've talked about so far. In our first message, we talked about the subject is that you were created for worship. You were created for worship. All of God's creation, from the angels in heaven down to the smallest of ants, to the smallest of organisms, they were all created, and they all declare the glory of God. Man was created for the same purpose. Man was created to give glory to God. Man oftentimes in life doesn't give glory to God, but one thing is for sure, man will ultimately glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God our Father, the blessed Trinity of heaven. They will either glorify Him here upon this earth, or they will glorify them at the great white throne judgment when it's too late. But God will ultimately get the glory. You were created for worship. Last time we looked at the subject of how we are to worship. The Bible tells us that when we come to worship God, we are to worship Him in spirit and truth. But we're also told in the Word of God that when we worship, we are to worship Him in decency and in order. In decency and order. I told you as we were together that decency and order has nothing to do with necessarily a tradition, the flow of our services, so to say, but has everything to do with following God's plan for our services. There are things that God has told us to include in our services, like prayer, like singing, like preaching, all of those things. There's ways that He's told us that things that we should not do in our services, like having women to preach. You know, God has told us in His Word some do's and some don'ts, and we're to do those things, but at the same time, we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we come into the house of God, you know, it ought to be a time of joy for us and not a time that we just come in and sit down in the pew and go through the motions. When we come into the house of God, it should be a time to celebrate truly what the Lord has done for us. Folks, I know that the Spirit within us craves to worship God in spirit and truth. I know that it does. And I know another thing too. I know the flesh often holds us back. So I pray today that truly we worship God in spirit and truth, but we also worship Him in decency and order the way that He is prescribed. We can't do one without the other. We can't go off on the deep end on one. They need to have harmony the way that God intended. Now this morning, I'm going to look at a subject that I'm going to guarantee is going to make some of you feel a little bit uncomfortable, because it did me. And we're going to look at the subject of preparing for worship. Preparing for worship. You know, sometimes after our services, we have a fellowship meal, time of fellowship. We actually did that last week, didn't we? And, you know, I love our third Sunday fellowships, and I wish every Sunday was a third Sunday as far as I'm concerned, because I love them that much. But, you know, as most of you all come to that meal, most of you stay for that, and most of you bring something to that meal. And when we have those meals, you know, you don't just wake up on Sunday morning and think, well, what am I going to fix for the fellowship? Oftentimes, even if you did prepare the dish on Sunday morning, you already knew what you were going to bring. You already planned it out. You know, we set out a list. People write down what they're going to bring. We know Sister Kristen's going to bring 7-layer salad or some other kind of salad. That's her dish, right? That's what we expect. It's all planned out. We're that way. But, you know, sometime during the course of the week, you took the time out, you planned it out, you got the ingredients necessary, and you what you were doing is you were preparing for that meal. You were preparing for that time of fellowship. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There are many times in our life that we put more preparation and more thought into a pot of green beans than we do to come into the house of the Lord and being prepared to worship. You know, many people look at Sunday mornings as a time to sleep in, time to get a few extra hours sleep, time to take your time at doing everything, watch ESPN, check all the scores out, watch the news, spend an hour reading the newspaper, whatever it might be, look at the sales ads for the week, all of those good things that you want to buy. And then it comes to the moment. You know that moment that you know that if you don't get started getting ready, you're not going to make it, right? Now, I don't know what your time is, but we all got that time when we know we got to hit it, right? And the great race begins. And you got everybody in the house that's trying to get ready, all at the same time, trying to make it to service. Everybody's in a fury, kind of. And then you ever seen this scenario where one of you is you got like maybe a spouse or something, and one of you is sitting in the car, the kids are in the car, and one's getting a cup of coffee or something like that, you know, get that one last thing before they get in there. And you get in the car, and you're frustrated, and you're aggravated already because you've been in such a hurry all morning. You know that you're going to maybe not make it there at that last moment before the song service starts. And then again, some people feel that they're not late until the song service is over. But then what do? We come into church and we sit down and we take a deep breath and we go, "All right, Lord, I'm ready for you to bless me. I'm ready now." That's how we often are. Let's just be honest. You know, I, being the pastor here, you know, I have to come early. I have to, you know, get things ready. But I remember what it was like before I didn't, and I remember going through that routine on many mornings. Folks, if you're going to have a meal together, you got to prepare. Last month, we had a baby shower as part of our thing. It didn't just happen. It had to be prepared. Sent out little cute little cards and decorated and all those things. We took the time to prepare. So this morning, I'd like to answer the question, how do we really prepare for worship? Because we need to. If we expect to have all the blessings that God has intended for us on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, whatever it might be, we need to prepare for worship. So how do we do it? Well, first of all, we must understand the importance of coming to the house of the Lord to worship in the first place. You know, when we look into the Old Testament, we find a lot of places where you find the Jews worshiping together. And you know, David, as he wrote so many of the Psalms, he spoke about coming to the house of God. You know, who could forget the words of Psalms 122 and 1, right? "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Now, did you notice that? I was glad. You know, when something makes you glad, when something makes you happy, what do? You tend to prepare for it, right? You prepare for it with great anticipation. David got excited about coming to the house of God. Let me ask you something, folks. When you got up this morning, did you get excited about the thought of coming to the house of God? Or did you wake up this morning and go, "I have to go to church again today"? Folks, it ought to be, "I get to go to church today. I get excited about coming here on Sunday mornings." You know, it's the only morning that I wake up excited during the week. I certainly will not wake up excited tomorrow. Never on a Monday. Slightly on a Friday. But always on a Sunday. Always. David said in another psalm, Psalm 27, verse 4, One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." David just didn't desire to come into the house of God every now and then. He said he desired to dwell in the house of God all the days of his life. Folks, is that your desire this morning? Is that your desire for your children, that they should come into the house of the Lord their entire lives? It's my desire. Even if it's not the church that I'm pastoring or a member of, I pray that they're seeking to be in one of the Lord's churches and taking up their place wherever the Lord adds them to. It is my desire that they be in the house of the Lord forever. But you know what the truth is that many don't see the importance of coming to the house of God to worship. Many don't. Many think that it's okay to spend their Sundays having all kinds of fun out in the world. And that's people that even say that they're saved, call themselves Christian. Listen, I want you to know something. You can give glory to God in the woods. You can give glory to God at the lake. I suppose, as much as I hate it, you can give God the glory shopping at Walmart. And we should. We should worship and glorify God wherever we go. But just because we have the ability to worship somewhere else doesn't mean that God excuses us from coming into His house and worshiping here from week to week. I want you to turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, you all probably know what I'm getting ready to read here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." You know, I remember what my Christian life was like 15 years ago. Because I used to come for Sunday morning service, not for Sunday school, but I'd come for Sunday morning service, and that was it. And I felt like really that's all that I needed to do. That's all I need. I just come in for that hour. And Brother Hancock was my pastor at the time, and I seemed like every time I sat down in the pew, he was reading Hebrews 10:25 and looking at me. And I would get mad. And I'd almost want to grip my teeth and think, every time I come here, he says that verse, he looks in my direction. Now, truth is, he really wasn't doing that. But that's the way the Spirit convicted me. The Spirit was convicting me. You know, the Spirit was pressing upon my need to be in the house of the Lord. We're commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, to me, that means that we're to be here whenever the doors are open and whenever it's possible for us to do so. And I understand, you know what, sometimes it's not possible. You know what, sometimes you're sick and you're passing a kidney stone. You can't be here. We understand that. Sometimes we understand that you're out of town, you're on a vacation. I'm okay with that. Sometimes you have to work. Now, notice I said have to work, or I didn't say because you volunteered to work. A lot of people volunteer for their overtime on you know, Sundays and Wednesdays, thinking, but you know what that's doing? That's putting something before God. That's forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Brothers and sisters, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21 tells us over there, "Unto Him be glory in the church." Unto Him be glory in the church. You know, folks, we can give God glory everywhere we go, and we should again, but there is a worship unlike any other worship that we can have out in this world that takes place inside the Lord's churches. There's a worship that takes place in here that you can't have anywhere else. You can't have it sitting on your couch. You can't have it sitting there watching TV, whatever it might be. Listen, I want to tell you, the biggest obstacles for most Christians of worshiping God is just being here. Just being here. Just so everyone knows, Sunday morning services start 10 o'clock. We have our first service around 10:50. We start our Sunday school. Around 11:30, we start our second service. Last year, we voted to consolidate all of our services together to make it easier for those who have longer distance to drive, for our older people, so that they can see easier instead of traveling in the night. Folks, it should be easier right now to be here for three services, basically, three lessons in a row, than it ever has been. It should be. But the question is do you have it set as a priority in your life to be here? Is it a priority? Listen, the best worship services that we have are when all of those whom the Lord has fitly joined together have come together to worship in the way that God has placed us, in the way that God intends. When everyone is here. Might also make mention, we do have services still on Wednesday nights, 7:30. And I understand that that's a service that a lot of people can't come to because of work and distance and darkness and all of those things. But I hope your reason for not coming is a truly legitimate reason. And not because you don't see the need in coming the extra service. Not because you think to yourself, well, I can watch it later or I can listen to it later. I got something else to do now, more important. You might say, Brother John, you're really harping this morning. You're being pretty hard. Truth is, I'm not harping on anyone in particular because I don't know anybody's situation when you leave this church. Unless you've come to talk to me, I don't know. I don't know what your circumstances are. But you know what? I know the difference in my life. My life. When the Lord pressed upon me my need to be in the house of the Lord more than 1 hour a week, to show me that 1 hour is not enough. We spend so many hours out in the filth of this world. 1 hour is not enough. If you want to cultivate your spiritual growth, if you want to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, to walk through this life in joy, in midst of discouragement and sorrow, folks, you need to come into the house of the Lord and you need to come in with a desire to truly worship. So the first thing in preparing for worship is to be here. Now, secondly, I began to think if, you know, we're going to truly worship the Lord the way that He desires, we need to physically prepare for it. Physically prepare for it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point, but these are some things that maybe we need to be reminded of. You know, the more you are physically prepared for worship, the easier worship becomes. You know, the Bible speaks in many places about being physically prepared. You know, I think about the parable of the 10 virgins, and I'm not going to read it right now for the sake of time, but in the parable of the 10 virgins, we have 5 that were ready and 5 that were not. 5 who were prepared, 5 who physically weren't. Right? What does the Bible call those who were not physically prepared? Foolish. Foolish. Listen, folks, we need to be physically prepared for our worship services. You know, I love Saturdays. I love Saturday nights. It is some of the best family time that we have. And I imagine you love your Saturday nights as well. But just because the kids don't have school the next day, and just because you don't have to go to work the next day, doesn't mean that we should stay up half the night. Stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning having fun. And then get up and try to come to church. Because if you do, you're going to be tired. You're going to be physically tired. Let's just face it. Is it not easy enough to come into church and sit down in a pew and be still and not nod off? You know, sometimes it's hard. Whether you came in tired or not, You just get comfortable, folks. Usually when I sit down, I fall asleep within 10 minutes. It doesn't matter where I'm at. It's hard sometimes. Let's not, you know, multiply that factor by staying up later than we need to be. Give Saturday night the same priority you give Monday mornings with the kids and work. It's that important. As part of being physically prepared, you might want to know what you're going to wear the next day. That may seem silly, but, you know, you want to physically spend as much time Sunday mornings preparing for services and thinking about God as you can. And you can't do that if you're running all over the house trying to find a certain jacket or a certain pair of shoes or whatever, wondering if it's clean or not. Prepare the night before. Lower your stress. It's not just with their clothes. You know, reduce as much of the have-tos of Sunday mornings as you can. You know, some of you ladies, you know, you like to get up on Sunday morning and get dinner going. Heather does that. And you know what? There's nothing I love more than on Sunday after church service, coming home, eating a big meal, then doing what? Take a nap, right? That's the glorious thing of a Sunday. But folks, if fixing a meal stresses you out and wipes you out before church and makes you late, come home and eat a sandwich. Eat the meal later on. Put something in the crock pot the night before. I used to work with a lady that I consider one of the most godly examples in the world, but I'd ask her on Monday morning, what did the preacher preach about yesterday? I didn't go. I had to prepare dinner. The family was coming over. That'd be week after week. And her life was a great testimony, but folks, we need to be in the house of the Lord. Let me tell you something else. As you're physically preparing for services on Sunday, on Saturday night, or wherever it might be, do you know what you're already doing? You're pointing your heart towards Sunday morning. You're already pointing your heart towards the services. So, thirdly, in order to worship God the way that we should, to prepare ourselves for worship, we must also be spiritually prepared for worship. Spiritually prepared. You see, you can physically prepare yourself for services. You can have all your clothes laid out. You can get all your rest, and you can show up for every service. But folks, if you're not spiritually prepared for service, there's very little worship that's going to take place in our seats. How then do we prepare for spiritual worship? Well, there are several ways, and it's really what I'm going to spend most of my time with today, but I'm going to outline a few of these. Number one, we need to cleanse ourselves from our sins, the sins in our lives, by examining our lives and confessing our sins before God. You know, I don't think any of you all would come to church with a bright white dress on or a white suit, if we wore them, I guess, covered in mud or suet, would we? We wouldn't do that. If we had a big black stain on our white dress, you ladies would change. Men would do the same if we had something on our white shirt. Listen, before we ever think that we're going to worship the Lord the way that He desires, we got to get the dirt out of our lives, the dirt off our robes of righteousness that the Lord has given us. And listen, I understand, and I know that you understand that on Calvary our sins were forgiven, all of our sins. I understand that. But that doesn't reduce the need for us to daily to go before the Lord and to ask forgiveness. He gave us that example there in the model prayer, did He not? Forgive us this day for our trespasses. Folks, we're still in the flesh. And I don't care how good a life that you live, there's still sin in our lives, whether it be sins of commission or sins of omission. It's there. Over in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From the beginning of the garden, It is sin that has separated us from our walk with God. It is sin that has separated us from our fellowship with God. Listen, folks, if we desire to worship the Lord, then we must recognize our sins. We must confess our sins and strive our best not to continue in our sins. You know, we think of David so often. You know, a man who truly knew how to worship the Lord, right? We looked at him as we looked at spirit and truth. We looked at the example of David and how he worshiped the Lord in spirit and in truth. But we remember in Scripture, in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know what? That ought to be our cry. That ought to be our cry every day. You know, we often sing the song, "Nothing Between." Nothing between my soul and the Savior. And it's a good song. It's a certain truth. But before we ever set foot into this house, we need to have prayed, confessing our sins before Him. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with when we're in the house of God and whether I lift up prayers or one of the men offers up a prayer and we say, "Lord, forgive us of our sins." And you know what? That's great. We should do that. But at the same time, folks, there needs to be a confession between you and God alone. When you pour out your heart and pray for God's forgiveness. Secondly, when we spiritually prepare for services, we need to make sure that we have forgiveness of God for our sins, of course. But you know what we also need to do? We also need to extend forgiveness to other people in our lives as well. And especially those of the household of faith. You see, if you have come to church and you have ought against someone here, you need to forgive. You need to let it go. When we come into the house of God and we have spite in our hearts towards one another, the house of God is divided. And listen, folks, when the house of God is divided, true worship will never take place. The blessings of God will not be poured down upon us as if there was a time when we all come together in unity as we should. Division is a worship killer. When you look to the book of 1 Corinthians and you look at almost the entire book and you see how the church there at Corinth was plagued by divisions. Divisions of all sorts, of all kinds. Divisions happen in the Lord's churches over the silliest of things. The color carpet, when you're getting new carpet. The color of walls, the paint. One of the first churches, if not the first Baptist church in the United States to split, was over the fact of using loose-leaf paper rather than bound hymnals. That's when bound hymnals were becoming popular. Led to a division, so much that the church split. That's silliness. Listen, folks, when God's body is divided, worship suffers. The entire church suffers. Whatever the reason. Thirdly, we need to prepare for services by preparing ourselves by way of studying and meditating on the Word of God. You know, as children of God, we ought to desire to read it. We ought to desire to read it daily. You know, it is bread to us. It is water to us. And folks, we don't just eat or drink a couple days a week. We do it daily. We're hungry for it. We should be hungry to read the Word of God. We're exhorted in 2 Timothy to study to show ourselves approved unto God. He has so much to show us here in His Word, things that we stand in need of daily. But listen, on Saturday night or Sunday morning, why not take a little bit of extra time to read the Word of God? To read the Word of God, to prepare ourselves for worship. Turn the news off on Sunday mornings. It's going to do nothing but show you some bad news. It's going to discourage you the rest of the morning. Instead of reading the paper Read the Bible. The paper will be there in the afternoon when you get back, I promise. Take some time. Read the Psalms. Read David as he speaks about worship. If you know that we're going to be in the Gospel of John, read where we're going to be in the Gospel of John. You'll do yourself nothing but good by preparing yourself for worship by reading His Word. Fourthly, we can prepare spiritually for services by prayer. You know, I hope that you don't wait to do all your praying to when you come into the house of God. I hope that even now, even though that we're almost done, that you're still lifting up these services in your prayers. We are to pray without ceasing. Let your mind be upon God. Let me ask you something. Have you prayed for the lost today? Have you prayed for the lost that might be here, the lost that might listen? You know, I'm told that Charles Spurgeon, and we understand Charles Spurgeon was one of the, we call him the Prince of Preachers. But, you know, underneath of the pulpit, in the boiler room, there was a group of men who prayed as he was preaching for the lost to hear. And the lost heard. They were saved. Have you prayed for the lost? Have you prayed for those upon our prayer list? Have you lifted up one another in prayer? Pray that the Lord might give strength to those who are weary, that they might be able to make it into the house of God. And throughout the week, don't forget to pray for your Sunday school teachers as they prepare. Pray for me as I prepare. You know, I need your prayers in discerning what the Lord would have me to say and speak and teach. We need your prayers. And fifthly and lastly this morning, as we prepare spiritually for service, you know, one of the things we need to do is we come into the house of God, we need to come in with the right attitude. You see, as we come into the house of God, we need to come with the attitude that I'm not here for me. It's not all about me. Now, I understand we're here to learn. We're here to be edified and to be taught. Yes, all of those things. But listen, folks, when we come into the house of God, we're to put off all of ourself. And we're to come in to serve. To serve. You know, God has placed us here in His house. He put us here, again, yes, to learn, yes, to worship. But He put us here to serve. And listen, if God has given you a talent for the edification of those who are here, be obedient to use it. Be willing to serve. God places some in the church, as 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 tells us. You know, again, some of the eyes, we've said this already, some of the ears, some of the feet, some of the hands. Everyone has a place. Everyone has a function so that the body here might perform to its fullest, to be at its best. So come in with an attitude ready to serve God with the things that He's blessed us with. And brothers and sisters, when we come in, we don't just come in with the attitude that we're here to serve God, but you know what? We're here to serve others as well. To serve others as well. It doesn't matter how important you may be outside these doors. It doesn't matter how important you may think that you are inside these doors. Folks, Jesus Christ got down and washed the feet of His apostles, serving. Listen, folks, don't let pride get in the way of your service. God gets glory when we set ourselves aside to serve Him and to serve others. So in closing, I don't know what you did today before you came to services to prepare for worship. But I know one thing, that we will never fully worship God until we take the time to prepare the way that we should. We may walk out blessed and think, you know, it was a wonderful service. But I guarantee you one thing, if we all really prepared, we'd leave here shouting, saying, it's been wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today. Folks, as the week goes on, consider these things. it's not a message of condemnation, but it's a message of exhortation to worship the Lord the way that we should. So as the week goes on, don't forget to prepare for coming to the house of the Lord. Brother Dennis, if you'll come and lead us in